This is a Spirit of Truth Radio Arts original program in partnership with Salt and Light Catholic Radio.
Body, mind, and spirit healing is possible. In this episode, I talk with a doctor that has laid out a health plan based on five pillars of health, given to us by God because it is based in Scripture. This is not a turn from Western medicine, but maybe the first line of defense in maintaining and regaining a clean bill of health, both in body and soul. In this episode, Dr. George Saramunga joins me along the way to share his source of energy and enthusiasm and show me the path to complete health. Dr. George, welcome.
Thank you, Dave and Deacon Dave. It's good to be here.
It's so good to have you, Doctor. You know, your book, one of your books, you've got so many books coming out right now, and they're all flying my direction, and I'm so happy. But the one that I'm going to lead off with is Lead with Love. How do we take that from a mantra to a way of life?
That's a great question, you know, and the reason why we use that as our mantra, our logo for my holistic health and healing practice is when we lead with love, Dave, we lead with God. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that we can unite all of us, unite all in love, for God is love. And so when we lead with love, it's just a constant reminder that we got to put God first. Mm-hmm. And when we put him first, everything else falls into place for us. And so we lead with love. The power of love is God. And that's what the book's all about, the daily devotion, mm-hmm. is to remind us through daily occurrences in our lives of how we can lead with love. And that's a handshake, a smile, a hug, how you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take a lot. You know, kindness matters. And so in my own life and some of my own struggles, you know, and then at 30 plus years as a physician, I saw so many spiritual wounds out there.
Yeah.
And even including my own self. And there's not pills, potions, and procedures for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to do the hard work. And that's reconciling. And that's leading with love. And that's being loving and forgiving. And that's living the gospel is what Jesus wants us to do. And so it's really transformed my life and my practice by addressing spiritual wounds, guilt, grief, abandonment, abuse. We all have been through some of that, or we have those experiences. And the only way going forward is to surrender those and give those to our Creator and help have him work through those issues with us. I always say, Dave and Deacon Dave, the Lord can do more with our surrender than our control.
Wow, that's great. That's really a great way to look at it. You mentioned holistic medicine. Tell me exactly what holistic medicine means, because it's not something that you would normally see an MD promoting.
Right, right. I'm an osteopathic physician, a DO. There's DOs, which are osteopaths, and we're trained more holistically, and I'll get into what that means to me. Mm-hmm. And then there's allopathic physicians, which are MDs. And so holistic to me means treating the mind, body, the spirit, the whole person.
Hmm.
You come in with a symptom, I just don't look at that symptom. I try to find, I'm a detective. I want to find the underlying cause. Jesus came to the earth incarnate to teach, to love, and to heal. And he said, when I return to the Father, you will do greater things in my name. And I believe Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he has given us the power, the authority, the mandate, the commission to help heal one another. Do we have the courage? Right? James 5, 14 and 16. You know, when somebody is ill, gather the elders of the church. Bring them together. Let's pray over them. Let's anoint them. Mm-hmm. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And so that's where we should start. We should start with prayer. And I'm not saying we don't incorporate Western medicine. No. But, you know, that's the holistic part. Taking care of the whole person. But let's ask big things of our Lord. He is the great physician.
Yeah.
And so let's treat the whole person and not just treat a symptom.
When you hear people talk about healing mind, body, and spirit, you usually think of maybe like Eastern medicine, Eastern religions, and things like that. How is this different from a Catholic perspective?
Absolutely. Great question. And for me, I look at prayer and I look at Jesus Christ as the great physician. Mm-hmm. And so for me, as an osteopath, I do a lot of integrative medicine. I do acupuncture. I do manual medicine. I do hands-on healing, touching, craniosacral therapy. It's all part of our osteopathic profession. And see, osteopaths believe the body is self-healing and self-regulating. And we can help move the body to heal itself. Mm-hmm. We give it the proper nutrients, the five pillars of wellness that we've talked about before, God's model of healthcare. Water's life, food is medicine, exercise, our sleep, 7 to 9 hours. And the most important thing is our spiritual life. And would you guys believe that 90% of our physical, mental, and emotional problems come from spiritual wounds? That's guilt, grief, abandonment, and abuse. So doesn't that make sense to you? I'm not the brightest light in the room, but doesn't that make sense that we should be addressing our spiritual side? And that's where our faith, Dave, and Deacon Dave comes in. I'm a daily mass advocate because you become what you receive. When I receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I become more like him. And so he's my physical, he's my emotional, my spiritual, he's my comfort, he's my medicine, he's my food. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Catholic portion of how I incorporate that in. Now, if you're not Catholic, I mean, that doesn't mean you're not going to be healed. That doesn't mean you can't get benefit from prayer and walking with the Lord. Yeah. But my role is what I call SOS, Salvation of Souls. I get people fired up for Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit takes over and guides them on the path to wellness.
You had mentioned about laying hands on, and some may say that sounds very close to Reiki. Where does this holistic medicine, and yet Reiki, where's the twist that the evil one has bent?
Yes. You know what, Dave? I don't care what you guys call it, mm-hmm. because it's the intention that the person has when they're addressing the person in front of them. Mm-hmm. My intention is to heal through the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he has given me that blessing, that charism, is to help heal people. And so we as osteopaths, chiropractors, physical therapists, occupational therapists, we all put hands on people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so is that going to be, you can't do that? No, the Lord has given each one of us different talents and blessings and gifts to help heal one another. And you know, when you put your own hands on people, I call it healing touch, you can direct the energy flow through your own body. And I've used that with the military when I was their chief of integrative holistic medicine and the addiction medicine director for a couple years at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And you know, it works. And so, you know, yoga's, I practice what I call holy yoga or Jesus yoga. Mm-hmm. And it calms my mind, relaxes my body, renews my spirit, which is the foundation for healing. I invoke the name of Jesus Christ. I don't pray to some Buddha or other God. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, continue yoga because it's call it yoga, you know, call it holy yoga, call it Jesus, whatever you want to call it, you know, because it is the intent. You know, my intention when I do it is to be healthier. And it's really changed my life. And, you know, it's like a dollar bill. Is a dollar bill evil? Well, the want of money and greed is evil. Is a cell phone evil? Well, if you're on Facebook and going down the rabbit holes on evil sites, yeah. But it has got a lot of good use as well. So it always comes back to the intention. And so hands-on healing is powerful. We put hands-on healing or when we do our mercy nights, true. You know, in the church. Is that, you know, is somebody going to come and say that's, you know, of the evil one? The Lord has blessed us to help heal one another, and Scripture supports that.
It is actually one of the gifts of the Spirit, too.
It sure is.
The gift of healing.
So, it sure is.
So we have to use it correctly. What's a good place for somebody, say somebody really wants to turn their life around? Where do you start?
Yes. Well, you know, I would start, I keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And the first book we put out, God Loves the Children, is God's model healthcare through the eyes of a child, Dave and Deacon Dave. And it simplifies the approach. God never intended medicine or the path to salvation to be complicated or messy. And we've done a pretty good job in the world to complicate it. The world would say pills, potions, procedures, vaccines. God says, I've given you everything. And that's those five pillars of wellness. And that's a great start because that's a discipline.
Yeah.
Because we know water is life. We should be drinking half our weight in ounces of good water each day. We should be eating a plant-based diet. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a hunter. So when I go out and harvest, I enjoy eating that. Nice. I love the exercise. So after we're done with our talk tonight, I'm going to go out for my hour walk, you know, and all that helps me sleep. And then again, getting back to the most important part, Dave, 90% of people have spiritual wounds or issues there that is causing chronic disease and health problems. And so that's reconciliation. That's either reconciling with a person that you're having issues with, or, you know, getting back, you know, to confession. You know, that's the simple model is where I'd start. And I would direct them to my website. Everything on drgeorgej.com is free. And if they want to reach out to me, I will give them direction. I'm not going to be their provider, but I'll give them direction, resources. Yep. We've got all kind of videos, YouTube videos on all kind of health issues from mind, body, spirit, yoga, or yoga or holy yoga to help you. And so use any free resources that you feel comfortable doing, but keep it simple.
Keep it simple. I like that. You've written a couple of really, really, well, so far I've got three of your books, and the two of the daily devotionals are just absolutely great. I love them. How do you recommend that we use these books?
Sure. You know, what prompted me to write, and I was never really a big writer or a reader. Mm-hmm. I mean, but when I was with the military and the addiction medicine service, that was part of our program for our men and women in uniform was journaling. And so I started to journal. And as I journaled every day, it really helped me focus and be more calm. And then I could go back and look at it. And then that led to writing daily devotions. And then from there came books. And it just keeps flowing, you know, and it's good for the brain. It's good for you to write and to read. And it helps grow new neurons. And it's good for, I call, prevention of Alzheimer's and dementia and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was that spark for me to say yes to start to journal. Yes, it takes time. You know, sometimes you don't feel like it, but it inspired me. And then the Lord, you know, this book, All for the Glory of God, the Daily Inspirations, mm-hmm. was a inspiration from Mother Teresa's book, Do Something Beautiful for God, her daily little inspirations. And so I said, wow, I love that. And so what we did, Dave and Deacon Dave, is went through, you know, we've been writing daily devotions for the last 4 years. So we went through and just picked out some poignant small segments in some of our daily devotions and said, we'll make a book out of it.
Yeah, it's great.
And so
it's a great little book.
And so like one of the recent ones is Run Into the Arms of Jesus. There's no safer place. So those just little reminders help you, you know, day to day, just like Mother Teresa's book. Mm.
I once heard Bishop Sheen talk about how the higher self, the spirit lifts up the mind and
sure.
and then the mind lifts the body.
Sure.
Is there a way that we could jumpstart that spiritual life to begin to bring us out?
Yes. I can feel the evil one attacking me first thing in the morning and trying to derail my day, trying to derail my thought process and what the Lord has planned for me. And so I got to start my daily I am statements. I am the Son of the Most High Jesus Christ. I am loved unconditionally by my Lord. And so I am a beloved son, daughter of the Most, you know, I just, that's how I get my day going with when I get my coffee going. And so I get the mindset set straight because as your thoughts go, so shall you be.
So if you can get,
and he's a master of getting in your head and trying to derail your day. And then I get the daily mass because you know, that gets me going as well. Mm-hmm. And I get my motor running and I start my spiritual time, you know, that I get my exercise in. And so it's all, it starts from the moment you wake up, being grateful. Thank you, God, for another day. I always do three things, Dave and Deacon Dave. Thank you, God, for another day. Please give me the courage to do your will. And then I make my bed. And so I've done three things before I leave the bedroom.
You really are a military guy.
I've already set myself up. Huh?
You really are a military guy.
Well, I am, you know, and I heard the make your bed from a retired 4-star admiral who I can't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. I've seen that.
Yes.
It's great advice.
Yes. And it made sense to me, you know, and I've always made my bed because, you know, that's just, you know, the military in me and that's all what I've always done. But, you know, those little things really just set you up for success in a day.
Yeah. You seem like you have a lot of energy. Where does that come from?
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, I'm on fire for the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes my energy and my spirit irritates people and their demons, you know, and you can just sense it. You know, I could sense kindred spirits here, but you know, it's not always that way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to change who I am just because it doesn't fit into somebody else's model of who I should be.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so I have that energy and it's a lot of love. And I just love sharing that because that's what the world needs. You know, all we need to do to fix the world is to love one another. And that's Jesus's message.
Amen.
And we've gotten so far off of that path. And so, you know, it's like we're trying to turn the Titanic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but we can do it. It just takes a lot of us and prayer that we can put all that positive energy up into the universe.
Yeah.
And we can reclaim what the Lord wants us to have.
Now, you've said that there's a way for us to, by using these different pillars of faith. How do we apply this to children? And you say that most of our problems medically come from spiritual mm-hmm. wounds.
Yes.
And a lot of those wounds must come from childhood.
Some do, sure.
So you're saying that there's even more wounds that are coming to us as, you know, in our later age?
Absolutely. You know, and I really learned this when I was 2013, 2015 at Fort Belvoir in my military. That was the pinnacle, really, of my military career as a public health service officer. Mm-hmm. I learned so much because I was able to use the Creator Model of Healthcare because the military liked it because it was free.
Yep.
You know, you didn't have to, it didn't cost them anything. And I had the right chain of command to be able to talk about the spirit, you know, and so it was beautiful. And so God opened those doors for that. But those men and women had lots of traumas in their lives, from childhood traumas, from abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, all the way up through post-traumatic stress from the military encounters and the wars and everything. And so there was a lot of traumas that we had to unwind. And so what we offered was dropping all of that at the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to the Lord. Give it to Jesus. He died once for all of our baggage, brokenness, and sin. We didn't diminish what they went through.
Right.
We didn't say that what they went through was okay, you know, but we said, give it to him. He will help you get through these issues. And a lot of it was not people loving themselves, because
yep.
you can't give what you don't have. So there was a lot of self-loathing. And so when we could change the behavior and the outlook where they were unconditionally loved, because some of them thought that was their responsibility or their fault that these abuses happened. I said, you know, the Lord was with you through everything and he'll continue to be with you. It wasn't your fault. This should have never happened, but we have the path forward. We drop it at the foot of the cross, give it to him. And we don't look back. That's not where we're going. And so we were able to change a lot of thought processes and getting people healed through love and forgiveness through the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And so it's powerful when, you know, people invite Jesus into their healing process.
I believe that Jesus told us that we have to embrace our cross. And what I think he means by that is that we need to embrace our lives and live here in the moment. How do we, doctor, how do we embrace the moment and pick up our cross and carry it?
Yes. You know, the same person, Dave and Deacon Dave, that has been traumatized could be bitter, angry, self-despair, and that's the path that they choose to go down. The same person could rise above that and be grateful and thankful that they're still alive and that the Lord has got them through that, and that's not what defines them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a choice. It really does come down to choices. Each day we're blessed with hundreds and hundreds of choices, some easy, some difficult. And so when you can, in every decision I make, I ask the Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, mm-hmm. for this call tonight, for financial decisions, for what I'm going to eat, from, you know, where I'm going to go next to be a part of this beautiful ministry the Lord's blessed me with. And so I always invoke the Lord, I always say, Dave and Deacon Dave, our God is the best executive secretary out there. And I use that in a flattering way. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the great physician. He's the great lawyer. He's the great podcast host. He's everything. If we allow him to be, and he will guide our path, you know, and he'll protect us from the evils that are out there. You know, the armor he has us covered.
Yeah. Is there anything I'm missing?
You've asked lots of great questions, you know, and really the bottom line up front for us, and I have a devotion in the book, the 365-day devotion. The bottom line up front is salvation of souls. That's the whole purpose of the ministry, is to lead with love, lead with God. The power of love is God, is that we all are united in heaven with our Creator.
Let's talk about you've got two books that are 365-day daily inspirations. Is there one that somebody should start with?
You know, I would start with either the daily inspiration, because it's a short, quick, like, run into the arms of Jesus, there's no safer place. And then follow that up. What I do is then I get on my daily devotion, Lead with Love daily devotion. And it's a little longer. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, it'll take you 30 seconds, 45 seconds to read. But it's always a scripture verse. And then a reflection from that, and a lot of them are life experiences. This was written by my co-author. She's on my team. We call it Team Love God, mm-hmm. and she's out of the Philippines. Her name is Kai, and she designed the cover and the back cover, and mm-hmm. and I've got a wonderful team. Yep. And so she gets a lot of credit for this, because she's half of these devotions are hers. And then, you know, living those five pillars of wellness, keeping life simple, mm-hmm. you know, and then. Hopefully we can come back on a different podcast and talk about my 50-day Pentecost in the Holy Land and the prophetic message the Lord gave me to the solution to the conflict in the Holy Land.
Oh, I'll definitely have you back to talk about that. That sounds really interesting.
And I'll get books out to you both.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll get them out to you.
You're self-published, right?
You know, all these books we have converted to being self-published. A couple of them we had published. But we published this book, All for the Glory of God, ourselves.
Yeah.
And so all of them are now considered self-published, yes.
How long does it take you to put one of these together?
Well, it's interesting you asked that. This was supposed to be our third book out, but it beat our devotion out.
Yeah.
Because we did this ourselves. And this one just got tied up in the minutiae, if you will, of the publishing company. And so that's why we decided to then take them all over and put them under our own platform.
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful. But I have wonderful people that can do that. So I have other people ask me, can you publish books for us? And I said, sure. It's not a hard process if you have the right people that can do it for you. Now, I don't have that skill set, but the team I have can do it. And this book is all self-published by us. And so I think they did a wonderful job.
It's a sign of genius, doctor, to surround yourself with great people. That's why Deacon Dave Imhoff is sitting out there with me tonight.
Absolutely. You know, he's my, absolutely.
Yeah, he's my spiritual babysitter. Make sure I don't go off in some apostasy or something.
Well, Dave, iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely. That's my good friend, Trace Big Guns Chamberlain. He always says iron sharpens iron. And, Deacon Dave has been with me from the beginning of this. And you wrote God Loves the Little Children. Tell me, what was the inspiration for that? I mean, you've got it all. You've got everything all laid out. What was the inspiration for that?
Yes. The inspiration for that was our model of healthcare. I was so disappointed because it's a model of wealth over health. And it didn't include prevention. And it certainly didn't include the spirit. Mm-hmm. It didn't include our Lord. You know, and so the Lord inspired me to come up with the creator model of healthcare, his model of healthcare. Yeah. And a lot of it was based on my time working with the Indian Health Service, because the native people are very spiritual people, right. And they're very open to spirituality and medicine. And so that's where those five pillars of wellness came in. Yeah. That's where our objectives, putting God first, because Jesus did, leading with love, building a culture of kindness, finding pure peace in the present moment with our Lord, being empowered to live fully alive, mind, body, spirit for the glory of God. And then we give God all the credit. We give him all the glory. And so those were our objectives. And it just grew from there. And I saw the results, Dave and Deacon Dave, in my own life, you know. And so I have credibility because I had issues. Mm-hmm. And I use this model of healthcare to help heal my mind, body, spirit. And other patients, you know, and it's so wonderful when people come in and are empowered, not entitled, but empowered. When you take ownership, you take responsibility, and that's what our Lord expects us to do. Mm-hmm. He's given us a beautiful body. He tells us our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So everything we put in our mouth, anything we eat or drink, is a conscious decision for wellness or sickness. Mm-hmm. You know, and so choose wisely. And so, you know, and I wanted to keep it simple, because that book not only is the creator model of healthcare for us to stay healthy, mind, body, spirit, but it addresses the path to salvation. God never intended that to be complicated or messy either. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's loving God above all, loving each other as God has loved us. And I always then add, help each other on the path. Us fathers, us men, our greatest gift we can give our families is to help them on that path. Walk that path with Jesus for eternity. Mm. And so that's why we combine the creator model of healthcare. It was not only a mind body, but the most important is the spiritual part. So we end up in heavenly glory with our Lord.
You know, it's sad to say, but a lot of people that I've come across lately have lost a lot of faith in the medical field because of, mm-hmm. first of all, pharmaceuticals.
Sure.
Seem to be a little corrupt.
Sure.
You know, the insurance companies seem to be a little bit corrupt.
Absolutely.
And it seems like modern day healthcare, especially here in the United States, is more about, you know, doctors and pharmaceuticals getting rich than it is. It's about keeping us dependent and not healing us.
Amen.
So I guess if food is really a great way to get started, and I know that you had mentioned earlier about a plant-based diet.
Sure.
How does somebody change their diet? Because I just saw a report just today about how there's such a disparity between the rich and the poor, how the rich can get more natural food while poor are left with more processed foods. How do we change that?
Sure. You know, it's small changes, Dave. You know, if somebody's eating a processed diet and hitting Burger King and McDonald's and eating out of a can and a bag, you know, I would say just add a vegetable or two each meal, have a banana in the morning instead of a donut. Mm-hmm. My new saying is, dates are the new donuts. Eat dates. Dates are full of good sugar, good energy. Mm-hmm. Donuts full of processed sugar. It's not good for you. And I have a running kind of a deal with my pastor at church, my priest. You know, we serve donuts and hot dogs after Mass. And I said, Father, this is all processed. This is cancer causing. we're not healthy. Mm-hmm. And so we bring fruit and other things in there to give people a choice, but you know, it's the little things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a part of our Curcio group, and which I love my Curcio group. And so I've got them eating right now. I bring in cucumbers. I brought in beets, eggs, pita bread, olive oil, you know, all the Mediterranean foods. And I'm not sure they're enjoying it, but I'm at least introducing to them to something different than a donut, because that's not going to keep us healthy. That's not treating our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, it's only once a week. But for some people, it's more than once a week. Mm. And so there's just a better way. And after practicing 30 plus years and seeing what foods can do, good and bad, mm-hmm. why not adopt a healthier lifestyle, teach your children to do the same, and a lot of these chronic diseases just disappear.
So many people in the United States today are type 2 diabetic. Is it possible to reverse that?
Absolutely. I've done it many, many times with my patients. And you know, some of the biggest culprits are the things that people like to eat every day. Bread. Bread has a lot of refined processed sugar in it. And so I've had men and women cut out the bread or most of the bread, mm-hmm. and their diabetes improves significantly and sometimes goes away. I had one patient, I hadn't seen him. His sugars are out of control, and I hadn't seen him for a year. And then I saw him back, and I said, oh, he's going to be a mess. And his blood sugars were normal. I said, what happened? He said, my car broke down. He had to walk everywhere. And so that's the third pillar of wellness. You know, he burned it, you know, so that was part of, you know, that's part of treating any chronic disease, especially diabetes. It's your food, increasing your water, getting your exercise. And maybe you're not eating right, or maybe you're not exercising, or maybe because things are going on in your spiritual life, you know, the depression, the anxiety, things, maybe a relationship. And so that's what we have to address. And then you're exercising, you're eating right, you're feeling good. And then all that gets reinforced. I'm feeling better. And so this is what I want to do. And so that's what encourages me after our podcast here is to get out and get my walk in, mm-hmm. because I always feel better coming back.
Deacon Dave, do you have anything?
Well, I just wanted to mention, you know, I know you're a family physician. Is that correct?
Yes, I am, Deacon.
Yeah. Okay. And my wife is also a family physician. Oh, and nice. One of her co's in her residency, Dr. Bentley, is also a DO. I don't know any other DO. He was my primary care physician for quite a while. Okay. Until we moved further away from him, and I found somebody else. But I'm glad you explained, you know, what a DO is, because I really didn't understand that. My wife's an MD, Dr. Bentley's a DO. And I like the I'm kind of over here giving myself some scores here about, you know, with your thing. I'm sitting here and I'm feeling thirsty. I felt like going out and getting my water. Would you say half your body weight in ounces?
Yes, sir.
So that'd be like
a tanker truck for me and you, Dave.
100 ounces a day.
Yes, it's a lot of water. Yeah, it's a lot of water.
Yes. So I got some work to do. I have trouble with I'm doing better now with sleep. I monitor my sleep. And I just could not get more than 6 hours. Or now I've been retired for now it's 4 years. Okay. And over that time, it's like I would get up really early. I go exercise. I pray, you know, so I'm doing some of these other things you're talking about. Right. But I would get up early and I just trained. My body got trained to waking up so early. And it's taken like 4 years for me to not have an alarm on, and now I'm finally sleeping close to 7 hours.
Nice.
Is that sound normal, or you know, how do you break that habit of just not being able to sleep as long as you want?
That's a great question. And sometimes I believe the good Lord wakes you up at certain, for me, sometimes he'll wake me up at 3 o'clock and he wants me praying. As we know, there's spiritual battles going on. And so, you know, I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start the rosary. And so I start praying and that puts me back to sleep. Some people, Deacon Dave, 6 hours, they feel fine. They're rested. I'm usually pretty good at 6 to 7. I rarely get more than that. And so other people need more like 9. But I guess it all depends. Do you feel rested? And if you feel rested at 6, then, you know, maybe that's all your body needs. And some people, as we get older, actually require less amount of sleep. And so it varies, just like our fingerprints. Everybody's are different. Everybody's requirements are different. But it sounds like you're living the pillars of wellness. And so when you exercise and you drink the water and you eat the right foods, it's all preparing ourselves for sleep. And that it gives us the neurotransmitters, the dopamine, the serotonin, all of that that helps melatonin, all of us that helps us, you know, and then get away from the social media stuff the last hour of the evening. So your brain's not, you know, wired for that kind of stuff. And, you know, music or reading or something that helps prepare you to go to sleep.
You know, I want to mention also, and maybe comment on that too. My diet probably probably could use some improvement, but I do try to eat healthy, but I know when I'm not and whatnot. But the old term nightcap. You know, I don't drink a ton or anything like that, but sometimes I like to have a drink in the evening. Sure. And I've been monitoring my sleep, like I was saying. I got the sleep watch I monitor, and I got a CPAP, and that monitors how my sleep is, et cetera. And I clearly can tell if I've had a drink or two in the evening, or, you know, within a couple hours of me going to bed, it really affects how well I sleep. My heart rate is higher. I breathe more, and, you know, I just am more interrupted sleep. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. You know, and I always say less is more, you know. So with alcohol, I rarely drink, and that's not judging anybody. I used to drink almost too much. And so at this point in my life, I don't feel as well after I have a drink. If I have a glass of wine or something, you know, I wake up, I don't feel as rested. I'm out of sorts. And so I think for me, that's the Lord saying you don't need that. And so, you know, if I shoot an elk or do this or do that, I'll celebrate, you know, but I rarely have alcohol because, to your point, it affects my quality of sleep and how I feel.
Doctor, I like your prayer at the beginning of the day. One of my priests that gave us a little retreat for catechists, and he suggested that what he does is he's got these three prayers. He says, he didn't tell us what they were, but three prayers that he's memorized, and before he gets out of bed, he says those prayers every day. And I've been pretty good at doing a similar thing. I mean, I do three prayers, but one to the Father, one to the Son, and one to the Holy Spirit. Are the three prayers I picked. What did you say you did? You said, thank you for this, you know, for waking up.
Thank you, Lord,
another day.
Thank you, Lord, for the day.
And the courage to do your will. Is that what you said? That's fantastic. Yeah.
Doctor, can you help quiet a mind? How do you go about quieting your mind?
Yes. You know, and I have lots of breathing techniques that I have on my website. Okay. And so the first one I would say is inhale love, exhale gratitude,
okay,
and then focus on Jesus. And so you can just repeat that. And when I do the Hail Mary, as I'm doing the Hail Mary, I'm inhaling deeply. Inhale the first part of the Hail Mary, I hold, and then the exhale is on the second half of the Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And so I can use my prayer and breathing, because breath and spirit, gentlemen, are the same words in Greek and Hebrew. The spirit means love, and love is what connects all that is good. So we can control our breath. We can control the flow of energy in our body and our calmness and our relaxation. And we stimulate the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the nerve that is our rest and our relaxation. And so that's one. And the other is a 4-7-8 breathing exercise. So you inhale over 4, hold it for 7, and then you exhale over 8. And so those are simple exercises that you can do to help control and regain that calmness and that relaxation and staying in the present moment. And then I put my hands on my chest, getting back to our self-healing, because our bodies have the inherent ability to heal himself, and that's an osteopathic principle. So I put my hands on my chest, close my eyes, and I inhale low, exhale gratitude, and then I say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I love you. And so I'm walking in the presence of the Spirit moment to moment. And we have a Native American who is up to be canonized on our church. His name is Nicholas Black Elk. He'll be the second Native American to be canonized. And he says, take each step in prayer. For when you take each step in prayer, you'll always be walking in a sacred manner. And I always try to remember that. Before I answer the phone, you know, take that deep breath. Before I speak and engage your questions, invoke the Holy Spirit. And so what comes out of my mouth represents the Spirit. And it's saved me in so many times. And sometimes, right, in conversations, the best thing is maybe not to say anything at all.
Oh, I've experienced that many times. Dr. George, would you say that breath and breathing has the ability to open us up, open doors to deeper spirituality?
I do. It has for me. And that's where I'll go back to the holy yoga or my Jesus yoga, is it has calmed me so significantly and it allows me to hear the Spirit. And the reason I exercise so much, and the Lord has blessed me this way, is every time I go out to exercise, that's when I hear the Holy Spirit the most. And so that encourages me. The Lord's saying, get out, you need it, you know? And so, and I tell patients, if you're feeling down, depressed, anxious, wound up, go for an hour walk. And if you still feel bad and you need to talk, give me a call. I've never had anybody call me. Because it's amazing when you can just get out in God's creation and breathe the beautiful air, the fresh air, the sights, the sounds, and, you know, you come back and you move and it just helps relax. Your problems may not be gone or resolved, but you feel better.
And you're on the way to fixing those problems.
And that's the part of the empowerment that we have to do. You're not going to get stronger sitting on the couch. You got to get out and move. I always say, yeah, God's in control, but you can't dig a hole leaning on the shovel. We got to do our part for the Lord. And I believe he expects us all to be John the Baptist, prepare the way.
Yep.
And help one another on that path.
My good buddy Pat King always says, God can't steer a parked car. You know? So
yeah, exactly.
So,
hey Dave, I just want to just build on what Dr. George said about breathing and prayer. I just did a virtual retreat in Lent, based on this John Michael Talbot book, The Jesus Prayer.
Sure.
And I still had it on my desk. I'm a little messy, but it's very short. I don't know if you're familiar with the prayer, but it's, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's it. And the first, and he has these videos, 10 videos, each word in the prayer, and he just dissects each word in that prayer. But the first chapter was about breathing. So you breathe, you know, just like you said, the Hail Mary, the first half of that prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe in, have mercy on me, a sinner. So you're breathing in, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, and you're breathing out, you know, our bad stuff, us being a sinner type thing. So, that, you know, it's just amazing what just simple breathing.
It does.
How you can incorporate that into your prayer and just helps, you know, like you said, spirit and breath is the same thing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is. It is powerful. You know, and that's all free, gentlemen. You know, it's not a pill. It works, but you have to do it. You know, and it isn't going to work for you if you don't practice it. It's just like any other technique. And so meditation, mindfulness, breathing exercises, centering exercises, you know, they all work if you don't.
Dr. George, how would you describe your spirituality?
I would say that's a great question. I've never had anybody ask me that directly. I would say my spirituality is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, I value that relationship and I want to do everything. I know I'm unconditionally loved by the Lord. And I know there's nothing more I need to do for him to love me more. But I just want to please him for all that he's given to me and all the charisms he's given me and the anointing and what he desires me to do. So I look at my spirituality as a moment-to-moment nurturing the divine exchange with Jesus and growing in his love and becoming more like him. And I value relationship over religion, over rules, over regulation. It's that relationship with Jesus that gets me to heaven. And so that's where I put my money.
Doctor, if anybody wants to find out more about you, where can they go?
Well, they can go to drgeorgej.com, our website, and we're everything on there is free. And because God's model healthcare is supposed to be free, and I'm excited about talking about my Holy Land trip, and I've got 4 different YouTube videos on my Holy Land trip, my 53 days. I was there 53 days last year at this time. And so the Lord gave me a beautiful prophetic message about the solution to the conflict in the Holy Land. And this is really a travel guide, too, because everywhere I went, I put contact information, WhatsApp numbers for the people that I used as tour guides and the places I stayed. And it was powerful. And so, you know, they can go to my website, YouTube page, Dr. George Saramuga. There's hundreds of YouTube videos out there. Everything's free. And let's have a conversation. Let's lead with love.
Let's lead with love. It's a great title for a book. It's a great book to get. So, Dr. George Saramuga, I would recommend these books to anybody. Deacon Dave, would you mind giving us a blessing?
No problem. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So go in peace.
So for my guest, Dr. George Saramuga, and my producer, Deacon David Imhoff, I'm Down the Hall Dave, always praying that your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. Let's get out there and lead with love.